this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, by the hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Are you not entertained? It's about time. Hey, that's what Leeds Scum are for. At least they have been recently. Manchester United 4, Leeds Scum 2 at Elland Road. Hey, I thought it was going to go a certain way. It looked like it would. I liked the subs that were made. All of Ralf Rangnick's subs made an impact. Big 3 points. And some of that momentum, sir, is building with Champions League nights coming up on Wednesday night. Headed down to Madrid. How are we feeling?
Sorry, you have the Champions League music queued up, ready to go. We're going to be using it on this podcast. That's right. Champions League is back. We got 3 points in the bag. Look, you know, this is a glass half full, glass half empty, wet noodle FC after that halftime talk. You don't like to see that, but Rangnick sharp on the subs, especially looking to Atletico Madrid. Impact Fred, what a finish, I got to say.
What a
game
hit.
Changer. No one could finish for United. We had the opportunities. Leeds look poor as well. I think you have to look through it through that lens a little bit. The whole like conceding 2 goals in 3 minutes, this team has had that in their locker for a while here. And to see that happen, it's just rough. No matter how much you want to cut it and gloss over 3 points, comeback win, that is a concern. We've seen teams get at us, score one, and we look like we're going to concede another two. This time it did happen. We were able to escape out of the straitjacket, so to speak, in the second half with that Fred finish. Unbelievable. But we look about a top four side. That's kind of where we're at.
I mean, that's the bar. The bar for this season is top four. And, you know, teams around us, performances that we're starting to put out, we're showing improvement. Obviously, the teams we're going to start playing in the Premier League are going to be better. But we're going on a run at the right time. Champions League, you're not going to have the opportunity to make these mistakes against an Atletico Madrid, even if they're a little bit out of sorts at the moment, sitting in fifth after winning La Liga last year. They have a dangerous squad. They're going to have a lot to prove. They're going to be playing in front of their fans in Madrid Wednesday night, Champions League night. So we need to tighten things up. Today, you could chalk it up a little bit to the weather, but that being said, giving those 2 goals up that quickly in the second half after we've had problems responding, I think I have to give credit to the manager. He forced the issue with his subs. They had an instant impact. All of them really did. And big result, because at least we fought back, got some goals, and iced it. Because I thought even with just a 3-2 lead heading into stoppage time, that wasn't enough.
Today's word is consistency. You look across the different teams we're battling for top four. Yeah, we are doing it live. Arsenal. Tottenham, you look at Tottenham, big result against shitty. Obviously, shitty. We want them to beat. It's sad state of affairs. We want shitty to beat Tottenham for us. But them stepping up against Tottenham, but then looking horrible against lower opposition sides. We're looking bad against the Burnleys of the world. Oh, then coming back and hopefully having a big win against Atletico. Inconsistency. That's kind of where we're at. We're inconsistent. I don't even know. I think I made up a word on the podcast live, inconsistency. I don't know. You have to Google that one. But at the end of the day, the team that's the most consistent is going to get that top four spot. And right now, United are in the race. We're in the thick of it, but we have to be locking it up when you're up 2 goals. We're up 1 goal and the game was way too open. I mean, these are things that this team is going to have to learn on the fly and play themselves into some organized football, because you go up 1 goal away in Madrid, you got to lock it down. And I haven't seen this team lock it down for a long time. And that is how you win leagues. That is how you win trophies, sir.
Consistency is going to take it. It's mentality, right? We have 180 minutes coming up against Atletico Madrid. And we're going to need to be consistent for at least 90% of those minutes in order to come away with a result. But if you look at the last 5 games, the performances are on the uptick. You know, this was only the first time we conceded 2 goals since the Aston Villa game over a month and a half ago. 2-0. No,
we're talking holding leads. We have a lead. Hold that lead. We up one. Hold it. We're blowing leads. We're blowing leads against Leeds
and other teams.
But like against bad teams, we score that goal. We can't find the breakthrough. And then we're conceding poor goals. Obviously, not a lot of them, but enough to do damage as far as our standing in the table. And when you look at a cup competition, we're going to have to be tighter at the back, more organized. That's where United is. It's like we come out. We're disorganized. We let a goal up, and then we lower our heads, and then we look like we're going to let up another, and we need that captain to shore up shop. We're going to get in the captaincy drama later on this podcast. But this is a big three, another big 3 points, because you look at Tottenham and Arsenal both winning. We got to win. We get it done, and then it's on to Champions League. Everything really on to Champions League, sir.
It's all about it, but you know what? Performances, results. Today was a good result. It was a bit of a barn beater, a bit of like a, you know, just like a knife fight, a bar fight. I can't even think of the verb.
Barn beater, that's
barn
a good one.
Barn beater, you woke up early, but at least we didn't get a 1 point skidderoo like I thought it was going to turn out in the second half. They turned the game around. It was a bloody match at times. Some people got bashed open, a lot of yellow cards, physical stuff. I think the boys responded well.
It was a great match.
It was a great match.
As a neutral. I mean, like as a United fan, scoring those two in the first half, haven't seen that in a while.
From a corner, then we
have
a goal.
Then we have the, you know, we let our heads down, let Leeds get back in it, and then come away with the win. I mean, the highs and lows of a match, that's what football is all about. But when you're looking at over 38 games, what this team needs to do to get top four, you know, there's still that question mark, and I hope that we can find some form. I just think we have trouble getting control of games and key moments, whether that's Bruno, whether it's McTominay, whether that's Harry, who should be doing it, be like, we need to calm it down. We need to get control of this game. Right coming after half with a lead, that's a key moment. Right after we concede, another key moment. These are the things this team needs to learn, and let's hope Rangnick is the man to do it. Quick PSA for the podcast. You want to jump on our Discord channel. It is amazing. We have a great community, almost 400 members. You want to meet some other Muppets, armchair quarterbacking this team. We got memes, everything. Join our Discord community. There's an invite pinned on our Twitter page. It's growing. We have a ton of fun on Discord. Enjoy. Also, if you want to support the podcast, you can support us on Patreon. We don't have any commercial sponsors on this podcast, and we've been reached out to all the ones that you hear on all your other podcasts. We do not want to break it up with ads. We want to do it the OG way. Support us on Patreon. We give away pin stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. There's a couple tiers. Sign up. And a big shout out to Kyle, who just became a Patreon member, and Anthony
Castaneda.
Castaneda. Anthony Castaneda. Thank you so much. You guys are the real MVPs. We really believe in Patreon. We don't want to be pitching things or have Alex struggling through ad reads, as entertaining as that would be. That's not what we're about. We're about for fans, by fans. We are the America Red Devils. Let's go. Also, check out our website, www.americareddevils.com. Great fan-generated blog there. Alex, editor-in-chief, he's dropping some new content there as well this month. Also, click on store. We have great merch. I'm wearing the hoodie. We got beanies, scarves, shirts, stickers, everything you can imagine. We have it on there. Everything you buy supports the podcast. Check it out. And sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or 5-star reviews wherever you listen to the American Red Devils podcast. It's a great way to support the pod. We're still sending out free merch. All you have to do, write a 5-star review. If it has cheeky banter, even better. We love that. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devils gear straight to your door. Great way to support the pod.
Alex is the review guy. He reads all the reviews. If you write a nice review, he laughs. He loves it. Write a review. He'll hook you up no matter where you are in the world. Let's get into the match. Leeds 2, Manchester United 4. That lineup, Dave Saves World, number one in net. Luke, the impossible meat pie, Sean on the left. Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing. Wan-Bissaka still plays for the team at right back. McTominay, Bruno Pogba in the midfield. Sancho on the left. Ronaldo up top as the number nine. And Jesse Lingard on the right. What did you make of this lineup?
So I didn't see the lineup until I made it until I got into your house, cleared the windows, so we're back together. We're in the bunker. We're watching games together. I was a little shocked to see a couple of these players. Good to see Aaron Wan-Bissaka still on the team.
That's a great point.
Good to see him. He hasn't seen
Alex
at
with
all.
The COVID expo. You know, your whole family at COVID. We're glad everyone's better, but not being able to watch matches together, that's rough.
Or especially this.
Yeah, and do the pod together. Remote just doesn't have that same, you know. Doesn't have that same spice.
So I had Jesse Lingard. I was like, what's he doing here? You know, but yeah, there he was. Other than that, Lindelof.
There he was.
Lindelof McGuire made sense. Saving Varane. Maybe, you know, you're saving DeLow for midweek, thinking he's going to look good in Spain. But there wasn't a lot of huge shockers in this 11. What did you think when you saw it?
You kept Jesse. You got to play him. At this point, you need rotation. We have a big match on Wednesday. We're playing Sunday. So at a certain point, you got to get Wan-Bissaka in there. You got to get Lingard in there. And we have no other midfield options. You'd love to see a Modric come in and play, give McTominay a blow. But this is Leeds is trash. You got to rotate. First half, United come out in control. I mean, like, they're pretty hot garbage, honestly. And this is something about this team. Having them get into this game is... You know, we shall get into a 10-minute Pogba with a decent effort. After dancing around the box, Pogba looked great here.
He did.
Getting chances. Should have had more assists. Or 22nd minute, De Gea with a decent save. Game is end-to-end, wide open. Something that we've seen United play a lot of. Hopefully we don't get punished on Wednesday for being wide open. 26th minute, Pogba, great ball into the box. Ronaldo, his weak foot. It was saved. I mean, this one, Pogba creating something out of nothing. Megs, the defender, threw to Ronaldo. Ronaldo was being challenged here, but a great opportunity. This usually goes in the net.
This usually goes in. Pogba does an unbelievable job, puts a ball in where you'd think someone's going to be. Ronaldo is there, but, you know, he hasn't looked his normal clinicality that we're used to seeing from CR7. I think normal Ronaldo buries that, but not today.
This was a tough one. I on the replay watching it. But sir, let's get into it. 34th minute. People have been shouting his name for the wrong reasons. Let's a corner. Set piece coach paying dividends here.
Dallas all with jobs to do. Ronaldo, Maguire, Pogba. Potential problems. In by Shaw.
I mean, what a shame that that song is not played on the pod in regular form. I mean, just Harry Maguire getting a goal. His whole career, he should be having like probably six a season, five or six dunk headers a season, and he's been struggling to get one. Glad he gets it. Big goal. We go ahead in the first half. He needs it. We need it. Harry Maguire.
It's a big goal. It's a big goal because it was a great corner. It's a great ball in. It was good. Well done. He just dunked it. He bounced it, and Bruno does the same with his header towards the end of the first half. It's just good, fundamental, in the air. You put the ball on the ground, and it gives the goalkeeper a lot to do. And I think this is important for Maguire. He's going to feature on Wednesday. Those are the kind of goals we need against a really tough to break down Atletico Madrid. Like this, we should be scoring off set pieces, and he is dangerous in the air. It's good. We need it. Let's go, baby.
Next up, another header. Stoppage time in the first half. Bruno.
And Lindelof's made a dash now. Running at Strauch. Now Sancho. And then Fernandes! Red Hot United! And Leeds are feeling that heat.
What a way to end the first half. I feel like we went to header finishing school. We've been heading the ball right into the keeper's hands the last year or so. Maguire dunk header, Bruno dunk header. Great run for Lindelof. Awesome assist by Sancho over the top. And a perfect finish from Bruno Fernandes, our Portuguese Magnifico.
How about Victor Lindelof with like a little one-touch football running into space and just beautiful first touch. I mean, that's why you sign Jadon Sancho, because that's a world-class delivery over the top. And like I said, Bruno, just like Harry, just fundamentals bouncing into the ground. It's very hard for the keeper to save, and he cannot save it.
But a lot to do. I mean, like, in a perfect play from United, you go in on a high. Let's get into that second half. I mean, you just got to get right into it, sir. Second half FC. We've seen this movie before. 53rd minute. Rodrigo.
It's a freak, it's a fluke. It might be a game changer. Caught in the gale beyond the hair. And Leeds are halfway back.
Yeah, well, he was unlucky a couple of times at Goodison last week that he managed to hit the framework of the goal. He's crossing that. There's no doubt he's crossing that. And look, people will be jumping on the bandwagon.
Look, having a look at it a few times, the way we lost the ball was poor. The marking on Rodrigo was poor. No one challenged him. But again, De Gea, hard to blame him here. It looked like the wind kind of caught it. It was a cross. We saw this happen against Brighton. You know, Brighton hits the bar. This one goes in. I would take the Brighton one hitting the bar, given we needed those points. You let up one goal, shouldn't be that big of a deal.
No, I mean, this is a bit of a wonder goal, right? Like, I would imagine...
like a fluke.
Fluke goal. If the weather is not this crappy at this point, and it was sheeting in the second half, I think De Gea probably would have gotten there, but the problem is like, we go in waves, right? We go up and down in waves. So you give up one, Leeds vulnerable for a second.
Yeah, this is the real problem. So, okay, say you have a great first half, you score two goals. All right, they get a lucky goal. You got to shake it off. You got to get organized. You got to get everyone back. And I'm looking at just the still image of this play, and it is already poor from the start. I mean, like, how can you concede a goal and then be this open right after that? It seems like you should be getting it together, sir. Here we are.
Not by Wan-Bissaka. Pounced upon by Forshaw. Leeds have hunger and teeth again. It's Daniel James. James across goal!
That cross goes
across. Should be there. It's like...
it's really poor. Look, first of all, just to be that... the start of the play, we're that disorganized. We're deer in the headlights. Bruno just horribly...
he needs that first touch it. He needs to pound it out.
Then obviously, okay, now everyone tracks back. Dan James is on the ball. And then this half-hearted cross goes across. Lindelof, Maguire, and then Shaw. Shaw doesn't pick up the runner, so... the urgency to sniff the danger from Lindelof, Maguire on the cross, and then to just have them both look and they see Luke Shaw. How many times we've seen Luke Shaw late to the runner at the back post finishing? And the problem with this one is you don't want to hate on Luke Shaw. I do at the end of the day think the back four played well. This is really the big error they made. But the Luke Shaw trying to catch up with the runner, he slept on at the back post while everyone ball watches that ball going into that position. It's inexcusable. These are basics. This is absolute basics. We did this against under Ole. We're still doing under Rangnick.
You're right, because it's you watching the goal go to the net. It's like if you're giving up goals like this, then if Atletico will have the opportunity to cut you through like ribbons. So it's inexcusable. An 80 million pound defender watching the ball roll across. It's like you got to slam that out. You know there's going to be someone on the back post. There's always somebody on the back post. There will be someone on the back post. Name is Luis Suarez. He loves that goal. Slamming. Like, are you kidding me?
Absolutely. 65th minute. Lindelof, good surge in the box. Sancho's effort parried wide. United did create some opportunities here. Not enough, in my opinion. Then the big double sub in the 67th minute.
Big.
Fred and Alonga on for Pogba and Lingard. You're like, whoa.
Woof.
Taking Pogba off. But you got to be thinking to Atletico Madrid at a certain point here. And I said, Fred's coming on to save the day. I literally made that comment.
You did.
Fred's joining in. Jadon Sancho's the extra man. It is Jadon Sancho for Manchester United. It's Fred. It's 3-2 Manchester United. Off the bench and bang. Just another monster moment in a monster game. United had won it once.
I mean, unbelievable goal. here. Obviously, Sancho, for him to even pass to Fred on the overlap is a riot. And then for Fred to finish from that angle is offensive. It's offensive. That angle on his left foot is stupid. It's an amazing goal. It really is. I mean, this is just like...
It's like a De Bruyne finish. It's like an unbelievable finish.
Who is this Fred? I've been looking for this Fred for a long time.
Ralph.
I've been looking for him for a while, and he'll be playing against Atletico Madrid, but an amazing finish. Absolutely unbelievable for Manchester United. We're back, baby. Huge goal. Huge goal. If we make top four, we look back. This Fred goal, big. Big time.
And all the players that had a really good game today are players we needed to have a really good game. It's like Maguire had a good game. Sancho had a great game. Bruno had a solid game. I thought AWB had a pretty good game. So it's just like, it's Fred, sir. Fred, that finish. Sorry, it's good momentum. We need whatever we got. And we have a very thin squad. So the players we got have to get into momentum. So Harry playing with some confidence, scoring a goal. Same with Fred.
He didn't play well in that. I mean, like, he played well in the sense he scored a header.
It's better that he wasn't scoring headers.
And he's scoring headers at like a unbelievable dry pace to what he should be doing. So like, it's more of like him getting back to what he should be doing, which is like he didn't get beat like a dog.
He did actually.
He like was lazy with a cross, and then he scored a goal, which he should be arguably on pace 5-6 a year, and he's off that by a mile. So again, as far as like complimenting Maguire, it's hard for me to do that. Like, honestly, when you go to Atletico Madrid, it should be Lindelof around 100%. Maguire will be on that field, and that makes me nervous. And he's the captain. And that's not right at a certain point, right?
I'm not saying Maguire was worth £80 million. I'm just talking about, like, we've had players that are not in a good run of form. A number that I just listed, having them pick up form, whether it be Harry Maguire or Fred or Jadon Sancho, is only a good thing for this team. That's all I'm saying. Harry Maguire, I agree, he probably shouldn't be starting. But what did Ralph do? He backed him as the manager, and he continues to pick him. So he will most likely start.
We won 4-2. Anthony Elonga, let's go.
Would be match winner. Bruno Fernandes, the conjurer, away from Schalke. He's played it for Elonga.
Maguire's really enjoying that goal. Like, but here's the thing. Like you said, Elonga getting that goal, he needed that. He needs the confidence. The penalty miss. Bruno, absolute magic from our Portuguese Magnifico. Yeah. The flick around him. How does he get it again? And then for him to dish it to Elonga, great finish. But you're right. It's like from this squad perspective, they need this win. The four goals, the mojo, everything in between. From sort of the podcaster perspective, the Muppet on the couch. Leeds are hot garbage.
Yeah.
We made a meal of it, honestly. It should have been 4-0, 4-1. To have the 2-2 is this team getting away with it a little bit. You have to say that. I'm not trying to absolutely kill the lads for a nice victory here away at Leeds. Big rivalry, but the Leeds are poor. You have to say that.
They're a very poor Leeds side, but we need whatever we can take at this point, and we turned it around. Could have easily been 2-2. It was wet. Game was getting tough, but the manager kept throwing bodies in, and the players stepped up. And I think
Rangnick got it right.
He got it right.
I actually, if I were to give anyone praise, I'd be like, I think Rangnick walked the tightrope of thinking of Madrid and making the rotation and making the subs and getting the 3 points. To me, this is Rangnick's best impact on a game. So that matters in the fact that this squad's going to come away. Like you saw that Elonga celebration. This squad's going to look like they're buzzing.
Oh, yeah.
He had a big presser, too. He dispelled the rumors, right? He came out strong against those. And then he makes the right call, gets us everything right from Rangnick. I think this is important for our manager, so the players now believe in him a little bit. Then you might see that form coming.
Dude, this was like, if you were going to give out player ratings and manager ratings, he gets a 10 out of 10 today. He literally brought off. Lingard did nothing in the second half. He brought off Pogba and Lingard. Pogba didn't look that great in the second half. And Fred and Elonga were exactly what they needed. And Varane for Ronaldo is exactly what we needed. It really did.
Yeah,
short up shop.
Short
up shop. You didn't even need the goal, but you needed to not concede. And it's just like, dude, he's learning on the job. 61 years
old. Two players who were MIA.
Yeah.
Ronaldo, Jesse Lingard. Didn't do nothing.
Nothing.
They're both leaving. They're both leaving in the summer. So,
but when you have a player like Jesse, and he has a drama of trying to leave and he won't leave, you're not going to get the best out of him. I hate to say it. That's another board decision here. But look, I think overall, this is a great one for the manager, a good feeling for the lads. You know, Manchester, watching Manchester United is not good for your health as a fan.
Today was an up and down
for
day.
The 2-0 first half, we're like, we're riding high, then the low, then the comeback. You know, this team, I want that one time. I want that one time where I'm not like absolutely sweating it.
Nope.
I hope you're listening. Stats wise, shots 16 from Leeds to 15 to United, 6 on target from Leeds to 9 to United. Leeds have more of the ball, 55% possession to our 45%.
19 fouls. I like that from United. That's good to see. A lot of fouls.
I've been waiting all season for that game where we show up from whistle to whistle and just dominate opposition like our wages indicate we should. Manchester United has scored 10 Premier League goals via substitutes this season, 4 more than any other side. Indeed, 5 of those substitute goals have come under Ralf Rangnick. He's getting something right. Manchester United scored 9 Premier League goals versus Leeds United this season, the most they've netted against the Whites in a single league campaign. Look, Leeds have had their number. Big rivalry, but not much. And Bruno Fernandes is the first Manchester United player to score 4 league goals against Leeds in a single season. Good on Bruno. And Manchester United, this is the one, have scored a Premier League goal from a corner for the first time since April 2021 against Burnley. Prior to today, the Red Devils have taken more corners in this division this season without scoring from any situation than any other side. 138 corners.
Streak's over, baby.
Unbelievable. You got to be getting a lot wrong for to go 138 without a goal. You think one would go in by accident. All right, but what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ralf Rangnick.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Congratulations on the win. It was quite a wild game. Can you try and sum it up? And you did seem to keep your cool while everyone else was losing their heads.
Yes, it was a very intense and if you were a neutral person, you could say entertaining football game. I think there were only very few moments where nothing happened on the pitch. It took us some 10-15 minutes to get into the game. I think the last half hour before halftime, we did great. We put them under pressure. We always forced them into their half. The whole first half took place in their half, and we were 2-0 up, could have been 3-4-0 up. At halftime, we were fully aware that they will have a go at us and that they will try to play with more aggression. I still believe that the first goal came out of the blue. I don't think that Rodrigo intended to play the ball exactly where he played the ball to, but within 2 minutes, all of a sudden, 2-2. It took us some 5 minutes to more or less shake ourselves. And the reaction after that, I think, was great. We showed maturity. We showed unity as a team on the pitch. And in the end, I think we highly deserved to win.
Sam Lucas.
Hi, Ralf. Paul Pogba played from the left last year and played very well. He seemed to be very influential from the left today. Would you consider playing him from the wing more often? And can I just ask about also the impact of the two substitutes who both got goals? What was your thinking at that time in bringing Fred on?
Sorry, the first question was on Paul Pogba?
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, he did well in the first half, but he didn't play from the wing. He played as one of the two eights together with Bruno. Yeah. On the wing, we played with Jesse Lingard and with Jadon Sancho. He did great, but after 60 minutes, I think he was a little bit tired, which is normal after such a long injury break. And it was great to bring on two energetic players like Fred and Anthony Elanga, and that they are both scored in the end.
We can. Rangnick's very pragmatic, sir. I don't think we're getting much out of him, but you know, I do like it how he is so objective about this team and just calls it like he sees it and talking about this team and say, hey, as a neutral, this was great, but you know, we could do a little bit better, and calling out, you know, his subs did well. Look, Rangnick is the man for the hour.
He really is.
The thing is more, it's if you saw behind the scenes, I bet you it's more about the players. Like, you know, Rangnick probably is struggling a bit with the big egos, the big money and everything in the dressing room. And but his view of football is very simplistic, and the way he breaks it down, you love to hear from him as a manager.
After all the shit we've had to listen to over the last couple of years, like his just straightforwardness, it's just so honest. It's so refreshing to hear, which makes me know that it's you know, going to be short-lived. The Glazers don't like that honesty. And I think he's handling it as well.
The players don't like it a little bit.
No, they don't like it either. And I, you know, I was watching Spurs come back against City. Great game. Conte thinking about that. You have the same fallout. You have the same fallout no matter what. And I just think he'd be a great guy to pluck in and take John Murtaugh's job, but he's not going to do that. But either way, it was an improvement. The subs were the right. And he talked about unity. That's an important word when everyone's been talking about how much this dressing room is fractured. Unity for a reason. Like, his messaging is spot on. He knows what he's talking about.
Let's check in with the table. Man, City drop points to Tottenham. Again, we could get into sort of the title race conversation here. I have my Scouse bastard friend texting me early this morning. Lives in Austria, and he's still texting me whenever he's like, they have a sniff now. And that I don't. That makes me nervous.
They do.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I really hate the Scouse bastard. Look, I hate City. People have tweeted me, are you a City fan? No, I am not a City fan. But do you know how many titles we have versus the Scouse Bastards? Do you know that record and how near and dear it is to our heart? And if the Scouse Bastards were able to match our number of EPL titles, that, and we don't look like we're going to win one soon.
Well, that's
and
the problem.
Like, we got a whole, like, to me, that's the number one record that we hold that says to everyone in the entire land, like, F off, especially them, because we took that from them through an amazing run from Sir Alex. And that's the one record that, if we lost it to them or they matched it, that's a tough day. That's probably so
it's inevitable, dude. They're gonna win 21 before we win 21, unless the Glazers leave.
I think that full stop. I actually don't think that's gonna happen. I think they're gonna win. I think they're gonna match us. They're gonna get 20, and then that next one's gonna be, you know, flip a coin. I think FSG is not doing well with them. I think Klopp will leave. I think they'll lose. This isn't a Scouse Bastards pod, but you know. The future, but everyone should be on alert. Like, hey, why do you guys want City to win the league? Is because they literally started from nothing. So they can have another league.
They got a lot of catch up to do.
Like, I'm not worried about that. But the Scouse Bastards are, you know.
City aren't even on double digits yet. I think they're
no,
on eight.
Of course. No, I know. That's the whole thing. So
I hear you. Because
I got to root for City against Tottenham. I got to root for City against West Ham and Arsenal and Chelsea and the Scouse Bastards because I don't want them to win the league. But now Scouse City with 26 games, 63 points. Scouse Bastards, 25 games, 57. They win that game in hand. They're 3 points off it. We got a
title race.
Chelsea, 25 games, 50 points. United, 26 with 46. West Ham, 26 with 42. This Arsenal, 23 with 42. Arsenal win all their 3 games in hand.
Which they won't.
51. We're still 5 behind them because they keep winning. Wolves are playing right now. So they're 24 on 40. Tottenham are 23 on 39. Obviously, if they win everything, they're going to be 48. Start doing the math live here on the pod. So again, it really should be Arsenal, Tottenham, then us. So that's kind of where the table is. But the real nervy thing for me is Scouse Bastards up there going to have a sniff at it. I can't imagine City blowing it, honestly.
I mean, the form is better. You know, look at Liverpool. Haven't dropped any points in the last 5. City losing, looking vulnerable, right? They gave a bunch of leads to Tottenham every time they would go ahead or tie it up. So,
sitting,
I mean, either way, it's actually good for us. It's good for us. I don't want, obviously, I'm with you, dude. I want City to beat Liverpool and so they don't get 20. But them being a tight race is actually better for our chances at the top four because it just means everything is more competitive and all the games, no one's giving up an inch. So at the end of the day, United needs to focus on United. If we play as well as we're capable of playing, we'll finish the top four comfortably.
United should focus on United, and as the only club to win the first division in English history 20 times.
Yeah, I'm worried, but what are you going to do?
And if that is, sir, that's going to suck.
Sir, it's only going to get fixed if they fix the problems at Manchester United, not us just like complaining about it.
No, and but it adds salt to the wound when arguably your fiercest rival. Obviously, we have a significant rivalry with Shitty, but there really hasn't been the rivalry because they've just kind of been this, until recently, they've just been a club that we walked all over for like 100 years. They haven't been relevant since like,
1905.
the early 1900s, and then they got the match fixing scandal. We stole all their good players, and then we went on the run. So that's kind of where the history. We have been laughing at them the whole time. They're so far behind. But the team that we're like literally neck and neck with as far as the number one team in England, the Scouse Bastards, that's really been it over the last 40 years. And for us to take that title, that honor from them with Sir Alex, for him to retire with 20, they could match that. And they're close, 3 points off it. It's going to be my heart's in that one. You know, my heart's in that. A little bit, because you say we're not going to win the league. Then what else you got?
So we're miles from that. We're miles from winning the league. We're not even.
All we got is our history. We're not even. And then our history is going to get run over. I can't take that.
Well, sir, we're not going to win as long as the Glazers own this club. And the problem is like they're spending a third of what we spend, and they spend it better. So at the end of the day, they're going to be a better competitor in the game because they just got smarter owners. We
Klopp
have,
and
like,
Pep
dumb
have
bucks.
To quit sometime. Those guys got to leave sometime.
They're doing better buys. They'll buy a next better manager. You think they're going to get Pochettino, bro? They're going to get like the next. They'll get Ten Hag. They'll get the next Klopp. You get run by numpties. You will continue to make numpty
decisions.
The
Scouse Bastards did lose their DOF. Technical director, by the way. So that is good news. So hopefully they're on the decline. I hope that I hate talking about this.
He won't
on the
get
pod,
replaced by John Murtaugh.
That's
though.
A big.
He won't get replaced by an idiot. He'll get replaced by
game.
A real DOF.
You should. United fans, we were talking on the Discord about that game. Tottenham Shitty. That's a big game for Tottenham. It's a big game for the Scouse Bastards. The problem with that game is we need Shitty to beat Tottenham. To keep Conte's team on the slide so that they don't run at us for top four. And we need Shitty to beat the Scouse Bastards. Now Conte's all... You saw Super Conte on the sideline. He's all charged up. Conte. This Tottenham team is all charged up. So, and we're going to arguably stumbling into the hardest run of fixtures we have in March. So it's going to be really interesting how everything plays out. But we got a next match. Sir. Give me that Champions League music. You don't even have your finger on the dial.
Stumbling. I don't think we're stumbling anywhere.
Those angelic voices bring a tear to my eye. That's right. We're back, baby. Atletico Madrid versus Manchester United at the Estadio Wanda Metropolitano. Round of 16, leg one. We're still in it. My prediction stands. Manchester United to win the Champions League this season. Let's go.
There you go.
Lifetime versus Atletico. We've drawn one. We've lost one. 1991, we played them. UEFA European Cup, sir. We lost one, drew one. They had us there. We were bounced by Atletico Madrid last time we played them in Europe. The only time we played them in Europe. Got David De Gea from them, though. Atletico Madrid and Manchester United have only appeared in the same European campaign once before, like I mentioned. And they beat us 4-1 on aggregate. And
30 years ago.
Atletico Madrid have lost each of their last four UEFA Champions League matches against English teams. Double the number of defeats they've suffered across their first 12 such matches in the competition. They've won 4, drawn 6, lost 2. Sir, we gotta enjoy this build up. fight night. I'm ready to go. Put me out there. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Let's go. Burnley who? Let's go. Athletic Madrid. We're going to win the whole thing. Manchester United have only won one of their previous seven trips to Spain in the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League. We've drawn four. We lost two, beating Deportivo La Coruña 2-0 in April 2002, thanks to goals from David Beckham and Ruud van Nistelrooy. That is how long ago it's been since we won in Spain. So look for some strategy for Rangnick. Now, we always talk about Europe, how Sir Alex were able to manage games. You want to be going and thinking defensively into Madrid and then come and win at home. That's not kind of traditionally how you think of games, but Sir Alex did it. You got to be really stingy. You got to be really organized from the jump. You can't be letting in a ton of goals. Obviously, the away goals rule is no more. Have no idea why they got rid of that. That was one of the most amazing things.
Is that true?
Yeah, no away goals.
I did not know that.
Yep. This season, no away goal. So basically, if the 3-3 on aggregate, you go to extra time. So
it doesn't matter. So it actually doesn't matter. This away game is not as significant as the traditional away game where you'd really want to get an away goal. Now it's just like one of two.
Well, as far as the home field advantage, I think you want to be stingy, have Atletico come to you and then hit them on the counter. We talked about that on our prior podcast, how United will want to play. I think this will play into our sort of counter Ole ball style as we are kind of operating on right now. So look to United to try to be organized and then hit Atletico Madrid on the counter. It's going to be a big night. Atletico has obviously done very well in the Champions League, and they are very experienced in the Champions League. Unlike this United side, we do have players who, like, you know, obviously CR7 knows how to absolutely destroy Atletico Madrid. We have seen that. that video before. Coming into this game, Atletico off the mark. They beat Valencia 3-2. They lost to Barcelona 4-2. They beat Getafe 4-3. Levante beat them 1-0. And then they did beat Osasuna 3-0. All over the board, they're struggling right now. Atletico, this is not prime Atletico Madrid that won La Liga last season or even made deep runs to the Champions League. This is a struggling side looking for form. And so it's a perfect match for us, right? You know, this is perfect. We have Atletico inconsistent. We're inconsistent. Can we show up? Can we have a hell of a game in Madrid? I think so.
I mean, this is what we talk about, mentality, consistency, and bringing that edge. They're going to want to, this is a big game for them, right? It doesn't matter how the season's been going. It's the knockout stages of the Champions League. They're playing at home against Manchester United. Dude, they want to turn their season around right now with a big win against us. And this is what I call the perfect recipe for McFred. This is like, hold the line, counter the shit out of them. Counter, counter, counter. Play Ole ball. I think we're going to, let's lean into this. Work today. Let's keep doing it.
I do agree to a certain extent, but this type of game is so different. When you have a team like United, consistency versus on the day, right? You know, we look at our roster. We look at these big money players. Like, on the day, CR7 can hit a hattie against Atletico Madrid. On the day, Varane can be the best center back on the field. That's the type of performance we need. I think this team will be looking for this type of match. It's a big game. You're playing for keeps. Forget about the Burnleys. Forget about that. That's a whole different grind. The Burnleys and Southamptons coming at you, fighting for their lives. It's a totally different game. These big European nights, we have the experience. These players should be ready for it, and we're healthy. So let's go. I cannot wait for this game. You want to talk about hope? I got a lot of hope for this tournament. I have a lot of hope for this team in this competition. Watching Brighton and Southampton and all these types of games, that's a rough watch for me. I can't wait for this Champions League game. I think you're going to see this team look totally different. We better, because Atletico probably batters a lot of the teams we've struggled against. A little history on Atletico Madrid. Their full name, Club Atletico de Madrid, SAD, commonly referred to as Atletico Madrid in English, or simply Atletico or Atleti, frequently called Atleti as well. They play in Madrid. They're rivals with Real Madrid. The enemy of the enemy is my friend, but not in this case. The club plays their home games, we mentioned, at the Metropolitano Stadium, capacity of 68,000. Terms of league titles won, Atletico are the third most successful club in Spanish football behind Real Madrid and Barcelona, and they've been doing well as of late. They have big-name players on their team. Simeone, their manager, one of the greater trolls in European football. They've won a La Liga 11 occasions, including a league, and a cup double in 1996. They've won the Copa del Rey, which is sort of the FA Cup in Spain, 10 times, two Super Copas de España, the Copa Presidente FEF, and one Copa Eva Duarte. In Europe, they've won the European Cup, Winners' Cup 1962. They were UEFA Champions League runners-up in 1974, 2014, and 2016. They've never won the Champions League. They've won the Europa League 2010, 12, and 18. Look, this is a club that's been steeped in European competition. They've never won the big dance, but they've won the Europa Cup a few times, won a bunch of leagues, are a big team with a lot of history. And like I said, their manager knows a thing or two. He knows how to get the lads fired up for a Champions League night.
They are also the shithouse kings of the world. Like, if you were to talk about the most shithousery teams in the world,
I thought it was Villarreal,
the Argentinian national team, or the Italian national team.
Well, Villarreal. You said that about every Spanish club you play. You play Villarreal,
dude, but you've seen Atletico,
Sevilla.
They're like the Champions League version of Villarreal, right? With Luis Suarez instead of some fucking guy I've never heard of.
Okay, so Simeone's playing the 4-4-2.
João Felix, who's 140 million pounds, is like, it's a different caliber of team.
Juan Oblak, the keeper, we were linked to him as far as the rumors of De Gea maybe leaving and maybe Hendo leaving as well. He's a great keeper, great goalkeeper. Savage is great at the back. Koke runs the midfield. We've been linked to him years ago. They also have Llorente on the right. Suarez and João Felix up top. Those two players, they ain't going to mess around. And they're going to be looking at Harry Maguire having an absolute laugh. As far as United's injuries go, Cavani should be back. The only one out is Tom Heaton. We're healthy. Big advantage coming to this game. Paul Pogba's back, big players back, players that on the night should be able to do this for United. Given those are the injuries, what is your lineup, Alex?
This is what I got. I got De Gea in at Delo, Varane, Maguire, Telles. I'm going to do Fred, McTominay, Pogba, Bruno, Sancho, Rashford. How many players is that? I think it's 11.
I think that's 11. All right, I'm going to say Dave Says, world number one in net. I got Delo, Maguire, Varane, Shaw, Pogba, Fred, Bruno, Sancho, Ronaldo, Rashford. I'd beg Rangnick to put Lindelof or on in. I think he really need, with Felix and Suarez, Maguire on that field makes me really, really nervous. I obviously think we're going to be playing deep. So maybe he thinks we're just going to pack it in and Maguire's not going to need to move a lot. But in a certain situation, if Maguire and João Felix are one-on-one, and Maguire's going down like the Titanic.
Or Suarez?
It's going to be, look, that's all this comes down to, and this is what kills us as fans. It's the boring side of the game that we're struggling at, is like playing good teams and trying not to concede. You went and across the pond and saw Scouts Bastard hit us for five. That's the type of defending that this team is capable of. Look, we were playing Diego Dalot as our right back. I mean, I got nothing against him, but you're playing Atletico Madrid. I mean, this guy is like a B-team player at best. That's where our squad is right now. That's where our back line is right now. That's the concern for me going into this game. You got to be locking this game down. You got to be playing defensively. You said you wanted Fred McTominay, but you put Pogba in there. Walk me through that one.
Well, I adjusted on the fly, sir. I dropped Cavani. I put in McFred. And I added Pogba because I think you actually need McFred. If you think about how they're going to attack us and how we're probably going to look to play, I would imagine he plays McFred with cheese. But that's why I did.
But a big European night, game pivot. You know?
Dude, huge night for this team. Like you said.
Pogba, Fred should be able to lock it down.
You would think so. That's the 11 you'd like to start. That is the midfield you'd like to be able to put out so you can play more of your attacking players. But then a lot of onus on Maguire. You could do the Lindelof horse trade. We got a pretty decent bench at the moment. We have options.
This is a big
Ralph call, dude.
Big Ralph call. You know, do you revert to the Ole McFred, or do you say, look, this is Champions League. I got a 100 million pound player in Pogba. I got a 50 million pound player in Fred. Those two need to be running in the midfield.
That's true. On paper, they should be. On paper, that's the holding midfield you'd like to play when you have Rashford, Sancho, Bruno in front of you.
It's going to be interesting how Rangnick, Schalke made a deep run, quarters or semis. He's been in this position before. He knows it. That's the thing about Rangnick you can't question. He knows his football.
He does.
He doesn't know the locker room drama that he got into involved in and probably struggled rightfully so, because he's probably never dealt with all these issues and leaks and stuff. But on the day, he knows how to look at a game and he knows what it needs. And he has a good assessment of these players. And this 11 from him is absolutely huge. This game plan is absolutely huge. The only thing that concerns me is if he decides to go for it. Because it seems to me he just has that style where he always going to go for it. I think you got to be packing it in against Atletico here. Booking the bookies, Atletico Madrid, the favorite, plus 135. The draw, plus 210. United to win, plus 220. First-time goal scorer, it is Suarez, plus 380. Then Ronaldo. So who do you got? What's your score prediction here?
I think it's going to be tough, Matt. 1-1, you know, United get a goal. Of course, Atletico get one back and leave it all for the second match. What do you got?
I'm praying for the 0-0. Nil-nil is a giant performance from this side.
It would be.
Giant performance coming back home. Like, that's exactly what we need is a 0-0. We got to be thinking 0-0. We got to be thinking defensive first. We need to be thinking organized, pragmatic. I hope we, you know, one goes in, sir. I doubt only one's going to go in if one goes in. You know, that's the kind of way I'm thinking at the moment. United in the news. We talked about it earlier on the podcast, the captaincy drama leaking. This club's leaking. Rumors came out early in the week. Cristiano Ronaldo, Harry Maguire. Captaincy struggle. Who's going to get it? Apparently Ronaldo wants it. Harry won't give it up. Then Harry went on Twitter. He said, I've seen a lot of reports about this club that are not true. This is another one. Rashford dispelling rumors. Everyone on social media from the dressing room saying there's nothing wrong. There's nothing to see here. Despite the obvious division on the pitch. Rangnick came out. He had his final say in the Leeds pregame presser. He says this is absolute nonsense. I've never spoken to any player about the captaincy. Harry is aware of that. And so is Cristiano. It's me who decides who's the captain, and I don't have to talk to anyone else about it. He says Harry's a captain. Nothing to see here. I think good play from him. How true all this BS is, who knows, but it's loud in the press. It's just like, whoever's leaking, Gary Neville, just out him because they're not stopping. This is every week. You know, it used to be Pogba and his agent chatting it up before Champions League games. Who knows what else will leak out? But at this point, the leaking has to stop because players reacting to it, that's not a good look. Rangnick having to answer for it. Whoever's basically doing these leaks is throwing Rangnick under the bus as well. He has to address all this stuff. Harry says it's not me. Henders says it's not me. Rashford says it's not me. The only person who doesn't say it's not them is Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's right. And it might be
him. But I'm not going to buy that Harry Maguire never leaked. Also, they're English players, and it's the English press. So I don't think Cristiano Ronaldo is like pulling the strings with the English tabloids. You know.
Also, it doesn't matter. The whole point is like the leaks weren't stopping, and it's not going to stop until the players that have been wanting to leave this club, some of them for years, are allowed to leave this club. And it's the issue is being forced this summer. There are 4 to 5 like key players that are going to be departing, even without us having any control over it. That will be good. This club is a goddamn shit show, and it's a shit show because the owners have treated it like a piggy bank for 20 years. And whoever comes in, it's going to be a shit show. So at least this guy seems to have a handle of this shit show right now. Like, he's calling this straight. He handled this perfectly. Every shit show that's thrown on his lap, he handles. And that is better than what we've had. So it's like, fuck me. Why wouldn't you stick with this dude? Or at least, what does this guy have to say? Because everything he says is pretty smart.
No, Rangnick did a, he gets an A+ for just like dispelling this stuff. For me, it's more of like, what is the truth behind it? Now, I understand it's not probably as bad as everyone says, but all we've kind of been able to see, you're reading the tea leaves. It's okay. Clearly Ronaldo comes in. He's a big star that probably ruffled some feathers. He probably was like, you see how Hardy is on the team on the pitch. So I imagine at training, you can only imagine how insane he is, where he thinks he's so much better than everyone and he tells everyone what to do. Then you have sort of the Portuguese clique, Bruno, Fred obviously speaks Portuguese. Then you got Dalot. And so obviously this happens at all global football clubs. And then you have the oldies, the old meat pie, old Shaw, English. Maguire, you know, who are, you know, kind of a, they're big fish, small pond guys. They're England guys. They're not global superstars like Cristiano Ronaldo. I could see how that could threaten the dynamic of a locker room. You know, then you have the England players coming off that epic loss in the final. That probably didn't help them either. And then you have this big Ronaldo figure coming in, and it could, there's got to be a little bit of a power dynamic. It's probably not as gossip girly as the tabloids say it is, but to say Harry Maguire or Luke Shaw aren't probably bruised a little bit that Ronaldo's kind of taking the shine off of them when they used to run the show. That's very possible. That's very possible. You know, and this is when you get these big wages and you get this big drama because it's all me, me, me. That's kind of how these guys are. And that's where Rangnick, I don't think, has dealt, had to wrestle this type of drama that we're seeing in this locker room and then in the press. And as far as who's leaking to the press, it's probably an English player. It's the English press.
Probably Jesse Lingard.
I don't. Jesse Lingard's not leaking that he wants Poch at the team next year. That's not what Jesse's leaking.
Well, that could be a whole different leak. I mean, but there are other leaks. Like, he could have been the
one doing
it. That's
like saying Martial's the leaker. He's not here anymore, and it's still happening.
But he is. But Lingard is here.
Mark my words. Lingard's going to leave, and this leaks will happen again.
Well, there's probably like six people that want to leave are going to leave this summer. Pogba wants to leave. He's leaving. Ronaldo wants to leave. He's leaving. Cavani wants to leave. He's leaving. Jesse Lingard wants to leave. He's leaving. So there's four people right there.
Pogba ain't leaking about Ronaldo and Maguire. He doesn't care. My point is, who's leaking?
Who would leak something else?
Who would leak that there's a struggle for the captaincy?
Harry, Shaw, maybe Rashford.
Jesse Lingard doesn't care who the captain of Manchester United is. He has no incentive.
But he wants to throw us through the dirt after not letting him go to Newcastle or West Ham in the summer, sir. He's happy Lingard's to throw him through the dirt.
Jesse Lingard is an easy scapegoat, but he's not the one saying, I don't like his training methods. That is somebody who is at United and is not leaving United and does not like Rangnick. That is someone who has stake in the game is somebody who's like signed on big wages for a long-term time and doesn't like the manager. That is someone who would leak that. Jesse Lingard is not going to do that. You think that's not his incentive?
There's been so many different leaks that it's not like it's just one leaker, bro. There's probably like 10 fucking leakers at this club, and I bet you all four players I mentioned have done some leaking. Whether they're the number one leaker or that leak contributor, there's been like seven different leak streams.
But whenever we talk about leaks in the dressing room, right, it always goes to the players who are disenfranchised who want to leave. Now, I agree those guys probably leaked about Ole and all that stuff because they were disenfranchised under Ole. Then Ole got fired, and this is a different form of leaking. When you're leaking about the captaincy and you're leaking about Pochettino and you're leaking about training methods, that sounds to me more like a player who is not leaving just because of the material that's being covered. And that type of material would suggest it'd be a Harry, a Luke Shaw, like a Rashford, or even Ronaldo could be mentioned in this. But there's some sort of, where there's smoke, there's fire. Something's not right with this team. And let's hope this Leeds result kind of amends it. But the big takeaway is good on Rangnick for covering this right. He basically says never happened. Now, that's probably a lie.
Yeah, probably.
As well.
Probably.
But he dealt with it, right? It's a good lie. It's a good lie straight down the middle.
Nonsense. This is absolutely nonsense. And that's what you do.
Because there's probably an element of him thinking about maybe giving it to Cristiano because Harry's such a softie.
Right. And he's going to leave the end of the year and it just like let him ride that ego, let him ride his own narcissism into success and be like, I am the captain. I'm going to drive us to the Champions League final. Dude, that you could play into that personality.
I actually think like when you look at Arsenal and they got rid of Aubameyang and they took the captaincy, I think stripping the captaincy mid-season just adds to the drama, which is why I think, like, ultimately, do I think Harry is a good captain? No. Do I think Cristiano would be a better captain? Yes. That has to be done in between season. To do it middle of the season is, like, creating more drama in the locker room, giving Harry Maguire less confidence. I think right now you just got to, like, leave it be. Rangnick made the right call and on to the next one. But these leaks, they got to stop. Like, if Neville knows who it is, he's got to tell Rangnick, and Rangnick should deal with it behind closed doors. The whole point is this should be dealt behind closed doors, and this dirty laundry in the press is bad for this team. And it's really, and
it's been 4 months of this shit. It's been 4 months because they were leaking it before Ole got fired. That was probably the Ronaldo camp. But like you said, it's like you're not going to make the captaincy point is a really good one. So you're not going to give it to Ronaldo. He's leaving in the summer, and Harry ain't. So it's like
the new manager should decide.
Yeah, the new manager should decide, whoever that may be.
And you saw Rangnick today on the touchline calming everyone down, and that's the force that he is. He's like seems to be calming the children down, and this is a great statement from him. Next piece of news is a little lighter. Rangnick admits he doesn't know what technical director Darren Fletcher's role is at Manchester United. Now, this is hysterical. In the press, he says, quote, what is Fletcher's role in regards to the club? I don't really know, to be honest. I can only tell you what's happening in training. He's around, and he's around at the games, too. In those areas, he's good. But as far as anything else, I don't know. This shows you how bad it is at United. Yep. Where even, yep. And that's where you have to appreciate Rangnick. He's calming things down, and then he's saying, like, Fletcher? I don't know. He shows up at the training ground. I don't know what his real job is. He says he's got this title of technical director, which means he's probably should be scouting, working with the scouts and figuring out who we should sign. And instead, he's just like hanging out.
Hanging out at the training.
It's what's like, up, guys? It's like he's like he seems to be acting like an assistant coach, but he's a fucking technical director. It's like,
that's what do Ralph
you know what
be.
That title should be? That do you know what Ralph. That title is? And this is Ralph Rangnick taking shots a little bit because he's saying, dude, I've been a technical director. I know what that job is, and you don't hang around on match days and around.
Yeah.
Good on Rangnick. He's giving us a real little pragmatic look at about what's wrong at United, and this is a big one. Look, we've ranted on it at the pod. Fletcher, what are you doing at the games? And then now he's at training, and it's like, this is why we're doomed. This is really why we're doomed. Look at the technical director at Man City. The technical director from the Scouse Bastards probably going to go to Real Madrid. Those guys aren't at training. They got real jobs. They're working real hard.
And the real technical directors, they have experience like Ralph Rangnick does being a technical director, which he would make a great one.
Fletcher has 2 years of experience on under 16s.
Sir, you talk about, oh, the Scousers. They lost their guy to Real Madrid. They're going to get another qualified guy. They're not going to sign like Jamie fucking Carragher as a technical director and be like,
have him hang out at training.
Yeah, be like, hey, guys, like, go spit on some girls and you drive by in a car. Zing. Low ball. But you know what I mean? It's seriously. They're gonna like replace him with another up-and-comer. The same way they'll do when Klopp leaves and goes somewhere else. They're going to replace Klopp with another up-and-comer. Not some like old fruit hag, unqualified technical director or some coach that's completely past his sell-by date. Sorry, it starts at the top, bro.
Speaking of not being able to do your job, Manchester United, remember we announced we're going to sell Pereira to Flamengo for like $10 million? Oh, by the way, yeah, apparently that has hit a skid. United not able to close these deals to sell players, even when there's a principal agreement. We can't get it over the line. Apparently, Pereira started playing horribly, and they started rethinking the deal. Probably also the press was like, oh my God, United might sell somebody. And even when you get thrown a bone, you can't close. Coffee's for closers. Remember that you can't even sell Pereira to a team that wants him. This seems like classic Ed Woodward. Gumming up the deal, getting too greedy in the details, having it drag instead of just getting business done, closing, keeping it easy on the way out. United, like, it couldn't sell Chris Smalling. Can't sell Pereira here. Sorry, these types of situations, it's just like,
what's the odds that Pereira is on summer tour with us? Like, he is every year. Like, Pereira's coming to summer tour, bro?
And then the next one says, next piece of news, Manchester United will not stand in Cristiano Ronaldo's way if he wants to leave the club in the summer. I don't think the deal is written in a way where we can stand in his way. Again, his wages are huge, so if you get off the books, it's fine. Champions League, Ronaldo's here. No Champions League, he's not. That's pretty simple to understand that dynamic.
Is there a chance that if we make it to the Champions League, he still leaves?
There's a chance, lower chance, probably 80% he stays, 20% he doesn't. Yeah. Probably needs a commitment from the board about what the plan is. But also, another bit of news this week, Paul Pogba may be going to Man City.
I know.
Paul Pogba going to Man City would be the most Paul Pogba thing of all time. What do you make of that?
I mean, I put it on the Discord. People kind of attacked me a little bit because it is the first time it's been messaged that he'd be open to joining another Premier League side. And, you know, that feels very on brand for the Paul Pogba we've learned to know at this club. So sounds about right. It doesn't feel like he's a City player. Like, I thought maybe Chelsea because London and...
No, he's open to it because not many people are interested in the Paul Pogba business. And the problem with the Paul Pogba business is you look at his injury record. Look at the wages that he wants a raise from what he's getting at United right now. And there's not a lot of people that are going to be... And plus, you got to do the $10 million to the agent, $10 million to his mom, $5 million to his brother, and probably another $25 million. You got to break up another $25 million for Paul Pogba. And we talked about this where the bubble of transfer fees is kind of bursting when players go out on a free. And Paul Pogba and Raiola are only worried about one thing, and that is money. And so to the highest bidder shall go Paul Pogba. but I don't know if there's that many around. And then that's why they got to put out, hey, we'll join another EPL team.
We're open to it. Newcastle, come on.
They're open to money is what they are. Yeah, so it. Paul Pogba will make, you said Paul Pogba's worried about Paul Pogba. And whoever pays him the highest dollar, he will go to them and sulk on the bench and be injured and go to Dubai and do all that stuff. Because that seems to be, the World Cup was the top. He reached the top of the mountain. Unfortunately, it wasn't for our club.
And what Frenchman did Chelsea buy the window that we bought? That we bought Paul Pogba for £90 million. They bought N'Golo Kanté for £32 million, bro. The best CDM.
Eddie Woodward won that shine.
15 years, bro. And that tells you everything you know about the Woodward era. It's like they went for the big splash signing, bring Paul Pogba back after he left laughing at us out the door. Instead of like the really good buy, which we needed the whole time. All along was a CDM. We still needed a CDM.
Still need a number nine. Still need
center back, right back. Hey, goalie.
We're going to the number nine store. It's like nothing. Nothing's on sale. We're going to the cheap bin. We're going to the dollar store this summer. At Hersey 5 quote: "What a match, sirs! Boxing match from the opening whistle. That was a game Roy Keane would have enjoyed playing in. We showed fight and didn't give up. Sure, there's some things to improve on, but we'll take the 3 points. Enjoyed being lead scum. You're right. This is a classic Manchester United win. You grit them out under Fergie. You give one to get one. You know we only criticize that the starting the second half right now seems to be the issue. At Mike United Mets, if we pissed away a lead but had the mentality to carry on and win, does that count as an improvement? I actually think it's Leeds being that hot garbage. Won't be able to get away with that against Atletico. So let's hope for a complete performance midweek. Look, we talked about the glass half full. We have not lost in the league in a long time. Last five, our form is great. Now it's on to the Champions League. We got through that big slug of fixtures, big European night. I think that shows you what you're made of. This is what this team, you look at these wages, you look at the big money we're on. Ronaldo needs to shine. Varane needs to shine. Pogba needs to shine. These are the players that need to go out and get us a trophy. At Jamal Mota, sirs, what a match. We finally scored from a corner kick and maybe the best way for Harry and the rest of us just moved past the last few weeks. Fred with the beauty, Lindelof running the offense from the back, and Alonga with a finish to quiet all the hate. Hashtag Glazers out.
Exactly what we needed. Exactly when we needed it. And I think it's an improvement. Leeds were shit, but even us, it wasn't as bad as it's been. It wasn't as leaky as it has been. You know, it did go quick, those two goals, but at least we fought back. And the manager is showing, like, you know, that other game he waited to the 80th minute to make subs. 65th minute, he made two big subs, changed the game.
And any time you're recovering in a season after sacking your manager, you know.
Ain't easy.
This season hasn't been easy on all of us, honestly, but we're in the thick of it right now. Thick of top four, thick of Champions League football. At DWC126, ooh, sirs, how many people say, oh, no, not Fred, and then remember they know shit about football? This guy right here, as far as Fred coming on to get a goal, I mean, he scored.
I mean, he went from, like, De Bruyne to Anderson to De Bruyne. I mean, he's got that in his locker. He could play like shit
or I've seen him shoot the ball a lot, and I've never seen that.
Yeah, that's the first time he's ever had a finish like that, so prove me wrong. Hey, I'm rooting for Fred, but, like, that's the finish of a 50-million-pound player. Keep it up.
At United Dondo, we look good. Defense may be shaky at times, but we scored from a corner and looked dominant for most of it. Pogba was incredible in the first half, and Sancho looks to have settled. Great point. He is incredible. Hopefully we'll find a new gear going into our game with Atletico. That, hey, we play that music on the podcast. If that doesn't get you up, I don't know what will. These lads, we need a big result from what that could do for our march. We have such a huge march. We have such big games. You go play well in the Champions League, you can come back, try to beat a shitty to maybe give the Scouse Bastards. Imagine beating Man City to give the Scouse Bastards the title. That would be rough.
Don't go there. That's where we're at. We're getting close. I'll tell you. Let's focus on Atletico. We've got Watford on the weekend. We got a good run. We should get a result today on Wednesday and then carry it in and keep gobbling up 3 points in the league, sir. One at a time, baby. We are just building form back.
At BryGuy666, my heart, this team, big win over Leeds scum, but man, that was stressful. Like Roy Keane says, watching this team is not good for your health. And we got a question here about Cavani, Alex. I'm going to have you answer this one. Quote, is Cavani happy to be at home drinking mate, watching Manchester United win in the rain? I watched clips and Cavani has such passion for the game. Plus, I think he would have outplayed Ronaldo today. What do you make of Cavani going MIA?
Dude, it breaks my heart because I went from a Cavani hater to a big fan of what he has to offer at this club, sir. I was excited for second season, and he has been...
It's almost like he's cursed.
No, it's almost like he's cursed. It's almost like I can't put my finger on it. It just, this whole season, ever since leaving the number seven, it's been shit. Missed games, hasn't featured. I just think maybe we shouldn't have... Having him or Ronaldo, you don't have spaces for two of them. So I just think like re-upping him and then, oh God, we're signing Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, I think you do, but I just think that Ronaldo's insatiable desire to be started every game is the problem.
That's why you can't... That's why I think it's like there's too much... There's not enough room for the two of them. Personally,
I hope he's involved again. He has to be involved against Atletico. He's got to be the bench at Atletico or even starting. I think you have to start Ronaldo, but if Ronaldo's not, he has one of these type of games, 65th minute, Cavani in right away. He can do damage. You think of how good Atletico is defensively. He can get him behind. His movement is unbelievable.
I'd start him almost. I mean, if he's fit, he'd be great. He's great. That's what he's made for, Champions League nights.
The only reason we're in the Champions League is because of Ronaldo. He had that really good start for us. He bailed us out. But
he likes Atletico.
The question at the end of the year is going to be, are we better bring Ronaldo in?
Yeah, we'll know.
We shall know. We shall know. Look, that is it. That is the podcast. You like the American Red Devils. We're for fans by fans. Sign up on our Discord. There's a link on our Twitter. It's pinned on our Twitter profile. Join the Muppets on our Discord channel. Support the podcast. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Big shout out to all those who already support us on Patreon. Check out our website, www.americadevils.com. Click on store. Check out our merch. Write a review. You know what to do. Help out this small-time operation. We're glad to be back in the bunker. So much better to be watching games together. A little bit of normalcy. It's been like 2.5 weeks. It was rough.
It was rough. It was rough to get it. It was rough to feel that way, but feeling good, feeling on the mend. Kind of like United, sir. Feeling on the mend. Feeling like we got the win.
We're not back to that West Ham win. West Ham win... It's been...
Today was a good feeling, man, to like go down that shitty and then like get two goals. It did feel good. I know Leeds are trash.
We beat Spurs. That will be like the beating the West Ham. You know, you're beating your equal.
That's the game. Sorry, I agree.
Full Muppet. I'm back, baby. Let's go. Give us our top 10 downloads last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? Mechanicsville, Virginia. Sanford, Florida. Albuquerque, New Mexico, Houston, Texas, Floral Park, New York, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, Brooklyn, New York, Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, appreciate you, New York, New York, and last but not least, Hotlanta, Georgia, appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We cannot do it without you. Always darkest before the dawn. Is it going to get darker? I don't know yet, sir, but a lot of play, lot to play for still. Champions League top four race is going to go all the way down. We're going to Chelsea mid-May. That game's going to matter.
March is the real deal for this team. I think that May game might not matter if March doesn't go well.
That's also true.
You know, we looked at these fixtures coming in, think we're going to sweep. We've had a little bit of a drag. We're back on the winning ways. But for me, I would take Hans and Franz if we had like a quarter, a semis. I'd sacrifice Hans and Franz for a Champions League semifinal, like a surprising deep run for Manchester United in the Champions League. Just feeling that magic again. That feels like a title race. Feels like you're in it. Maybe take home the whole thing. And then you get in. Then you don't have to worry about. We have the team to do it. They're not playing. They're not clicking all cylinders. We have the team to do it. Let's hope this theme song gets some magic out of these lads. Speaking of Champions League, we're gonna leave you with a banger. Oh, what a night. Everyone have a great week. Atletico Madrid, let's go.